Okay, good to have everybody out this morning, and it is a beautiful day, isn't it? And some beautiful weather here lately. Really, really like it. You can sit outside and you don't have to get carried off by mosquitoes, and it's pretty good. But let's get to the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly and love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you this morning for this awesome privilege and opportunity we have, Lord, to come to your house freely, to sing praises to you, to break the word of life among us, and Lord, to just ask you to open our hearts to your word. Lord, that our ears would be listening to your word and that we would receive it and put it to use, Lord. Be doers, not just hearers only. Lord, I do once again, Lord, I do pray for those that were in this tragic last Sunday, this all of the trauma they've been through. Some have lost loved ones. Lord, their minds are scarred, Lord, forever with this. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would be with each one of those. Lay your hands on them, lift them up, comfort them. And Lord, that through all of this, that they would see the need, Lord, for salvation. And Lord, if there is one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today would be the day that they would accept you. And we thank you for all these things, and we ask it in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Go with me to the book of Acts. But Acts chapter 20 is where we're going to go. Something important in here that really sparked, fired a spark with me, and I've been studying on it, and it really hit home with me. But Thessalonians 5:19, I read, "Quench not the Spirit," and that's what kind of triggered this sermon, is "Quench not the Spirit." And then Saturday, the devotion that we had in our little devotional books, and it came from Acts 20, 17 through 24. But the key verse in that really struck me and got my attention was verse 24. He says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, Paul stated that nothing got in his way of serving the Lord. And that's really what struck me on this, the whole thing. To be honest with you, it was more, at the time, was more of a devotion toward me than it would be toward you. Because Paul was speaking of himself, and he was speaking of all of these things, the trials, the tribulation that he had went through, and he said, but none of these things moved me. And that hit home with me, and it should have. And the more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, I'll just be honest with you, fought with the devil the last few days with this, and about preaching it. I wanted to preach something else, but it just kept hammering, and I'm like, you know, that's what I got to do. And so Paul says, none of these things move me. He says, from Miletus, verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears and temptations which befell me, by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. And then when you read verse 24, he said, but none of these things move me. And so a lot of those things started speaking to me. And Paul stated that nothing kept him from serving the Lord. And I asked myself at that time, I said, is there anything getting in my way of serving the Lord and doing what I'm supposed to do? And I'll be honest with you, I've had to ask for some forgiveness. I hadn't always had the humility I should have. I hadn't always shed the tears I should shed. There's a lot of things when I started looking at that, and I'm like, you know, really, I got to ask forgiveness. Because there are some things that get in our way. We're humans. And so I looked at this and I thought, well, this just isn't to me as a pastor. It's to me as an individual. I ought to have more humility for people that I don't even know and more compassion than what I have. And I should be willing more and more to let them know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I should more and more, I should pray, which is, by the way, where this has come up, that we come out here on Tuesdays. And I'm thinking about arranging it where we come out on Fridays. And if somebody wants to come to the church, I'll go ahead and tell you, you've got my phone number. If you want to come down here and have prayer, call me. And if I'm able, I'll meet you here. Because prayer is an important thing. And I really, we tend to set that aside. But there's too many professing Christians today. They start out strong. Boy, they're fired up for the Lord, and they're really going in the direction they need to be going. And they get blessed, and their families are getting blessed. But then all of a sudden something happens. They start fizzling. And you wonder, you're like, what's going on? What is wrong? And you start seeing less and less of them and their families in church. And you're like, what is wrong? What's happening? And worldly things start getting in their way, and everything becomes more important than Jesus Christ and the church. We've got all of what the school offers. We've got all of what our super duper valley offers. We've got and you know, you start thinking, you're like, where are these people at? And it's people I know, people you know. They may not necessarily go to this church. They may go to another church. But you start seeing them fade off, and you're like, what's going on with everything? Christ becomes less important. And that shouldn't be. The Apostle Paul was called into the ministry by Jesus Christ. And Paul, really, he was explaining his ministry and why he would not quit. And I looked back at it and I started praying about it and reading about it. And really, I've asked myself lots of times, well, I've said lots of times, I'm done. You can ask her. Over the years, not just here, but ever since I surrendered to the ministry, the first church I pastored, I get there and they got a little baby that's dying. I'm talking, he ain't gonna make it. And I'm like, man, I didn't take this on. This isn't what I come to do. I come to preach the gospel. But guess what? That comes along with pastor. By the way, the child made it. Everything went good. The Lord took care of that. He's going to have a rough life, but nonetheless. But I didn't take that. And it was times like that. I looked at her and I'm like, I'm done with this. I don't need the extra heartaches in my life. I called a good friend of mine that was real influential with me getting into the ministry, and I told him, I said, dude, I didn't plan on all of this stuff. And I went to school and I said, they don't teach you in school what to do when you're in that situation. But I didn't realize what the Lord was preparing me for. Not long after that, a young lady out of wedlock had a child that was at She was going to the church. Her dad had just gotten saved. And I sat there in the hospital room with her while her little baby died. But I was prepared for that. If that one had have hit me the first day I got into pastoring, I'd have been like, I'm done. You know, and I really would have been done. It would have been like, nah, uh-uh-uh. But you know what? It worked on me. But Paul saw himself in really... six different ways, and the more I prayed about it, the more I thought about it, and it works out for individuals as well. Paul kind of looked at himself as an accountant. In other words, he was weighing the differences of doing what Christ wanted and was asking, or not doing what Christ wanted. And I got to thinking about that. I'm like, you know what? That's kind of like comparing a job to another job. It's this job is offering me this, 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 and I really like where it's at. What a job that would be. And I've had a few of those come along. But, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, but look at the job I'm at. Look at what's going on in my life. Am I in church? Am I living and doing things that I've never done before? Yeah, well, I'll use Vegas. A lot of people like greenery. You know what greenery is? It's this stuff they call grass. No, it's not that one. It's the other stuff. You don't smoke this one. And you're like, you know what? They have grass. It ain't here. You got to go to Mississippi if you want grass. Colorado if you want, you know, and trees and all the wildlife. But you know what? If I'm serving the Lord where the Lord's placed me, and if things are going, guess what? I ought to be content where I'm at. And when God's ready, He'll send you down the road. You know, He'll do what He'll place. So I kind of compared that and I looked at it and I'm saying, that's what Paul's doing. Paul says, well, if I serve Christ, I'm going to suffer some, but I'm going to be blessed and I'm also going to have joy. Not to mention you can lay down at night and sleep and you don't have to say, well, did I or did I not do what the Lord asked? Versus the other way. If I don't serve Christ, look what Paul could have had. Paul was in the Sanhedrin. Paul was climbing up the big political chain. He could have been top dog. He might have ended up being the high priest. But he says, I think he probably read what Moses had written. And you can find that in Hebrews. Paul wrote it in Hebrews. 11:24, he said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And when I looked at Paul, I'm like, Paul could have had all of this stuff, all of the fancy robes, and people would have bowed down as he come by, and oh, look at Paul, man. He was heading places. He could have had all of that, but he decided, uh-uh. And I think Moses probably had a lot to do with that, because Moses was in the line to be Pharaoh. Wow, what a position. Pharaoh, Pharaoh was considered to be a god. What a position the man had. He was looking at, but he said, nah, I'm going to hang out with God's people, and I'm going to suffer some, yeah, and I'm going to miss out on some fun. By the way, sin's fun. If anybody tells you it ain't, they're lying to you. It is. I've been there, and it is fun, but it's only for a season. And there's a whole lot more problems come from it. But you know what? Moses said, I'm going to go by way of God's people. So he kind of figured it up, and I thought, you know what? We as individuals, not to mention me as a pastor, need to look at it as an accountant would, weigh out the differences, look at the long run. Would you rather make wads of money for this many years or make a lot for the rest of your life? I got a few years of just living high on the hog, but the rest of it's going to be low on the hog. That ain't good. So you look at it the other way and you say, wait a minute, what's at the end for me? And it's rewards in Jesus Christ saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, that ought to be what we all want to hear. He also saw himself as a runner in a race. He wanted to finish his race with joy and victory. See, when we get saved and we enter into the so to speak, Christian race that Paul talks about, it's not to get saved. That race that he's working toward the high mark of God's calling, it isn't to get saved. He's already saved. But he's in that race and he's running and trying to do what he can for the Lord, because he knows at the end is an incorruptible crown. And he'll receive that one day. He even told us that in 2 Timothy 4:8. He said, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord's going to give him one day. And he gives that to all that love him. But Hebrews 12:1-2, he told us we need to lay aside the weights, not sin, the weights that slow us down, that stop us from living that race we should be living and doing what we should be doing for the Lord. We need to lay them aside. Not necessarily bad things. It's just stuff that needs to be laid aside. But then he also said the sins too. We need to get rid of those sins. And we can run that race. Paul was motivated by a great purpose. And that purpose was to tell others about Jesus Christ and to build the Lord's churches. That should be our purpose. To make sure that we're telling others about the love that Jesus has for them. It doesn't matter who you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, what you've done. Paul was a murderer. He hauled Christians off and had them murdered. But the Lord saved him. We need to be letting people know that. Not only that, Paul says we need to be good stewards. He wanted to be a good steward for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And he also told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Listen, there is a lot of times that I tell the Lord, I thank you so much for putting me in the ministry because He trusted me with the precious gospel of Jesus Christ to let others know. Well, Pastor, I'm not in the ministry. Well, yeah, you are. When the Lord called you, and by the way, the Lord calls all men to know Him, not just a few. He calls all men. It's up to them if they accept. And when they do accept, they are called into the ministry. We're supposed to tell others about Christ. He has laid that in your lap to be what you should be, that others can see Jesus in you. You ever met somebody that you just knew that they were saved? You just knew by their look, by their speech, by their actions toward you that, listen, that person's saved. And if you get brave enough, you can ask them and they'll say, oh yeah, I know the Lord Jesus. People see it. We don't think they do, but they do. You see, he knew that one day he was going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for all he had done for the Lord, whether it was good or worthless. We're all going to be there one day. For Paul knew that he was a testimony and witness for Christ. You see, Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and all over the world. Do you realize that if you're saved, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be a witness? You might be a good witness, and you might be a bad witness. Would you, I've asked myself before, am I the kind of Christian that makes people want to be a Christian? If I'm not, I got problems. I need to back up and figure out what's wrong. I got a sick spirit, apparently. In other words, I need to be reading the Word of God, and I need to start being faithful in the Lord's work so that He can repair the problems I got. Because if somebody says, well, I wouldn't want to be a Christian if they're like you, well, that hurt, wouldn't it? You ever had somebody say that? You don't have to be honest with me. I'll be honest with you. Years ago, I had somebody tell me, well, if you're what a Christian is, I don't need it. That's true. It's because of the way I was living. They could see that. See, they can see. They're like children. Lost people are like children. See, children see the truth in people. Lost people out there, they see the truth in you. They see whether or not you're what you should be. And they'll stick with it. We need to be, you know, think about this. Sharing the gospel is the most important thing you'll ever do. And being a part of one of the Lord's churches is the biggest privilege you could ever have. That's true. Five and six really go together. Preach the gospel and be a watchman. At one time I could quote this, but I'm not going to attempt it because I'll mess it all up. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 1 through 8. I had to learn this in school and I had to quote it, and I never knew how much I would really use it. But I've used it a lot. And it means a whole lot more now than it meant back then. Paul's told Timothy, he said, I told you, I can't even read it, I'm messing it up. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do you know that's one of the hardest things to do? Is that verse right there. Preach the word, that ain't a problem. I didn't preach the word. But it's the reprove and the rebuke that bothers me. Because that's when I look at you and say, you ain't living like you ought to be living. See, I don't like that part. Because most people look at you anymore and they say, well, you're judging me. No, I ain't judging you. God is. God placed me as the pastor of the church. Guess what? One of his flock step out of line, I'm going to let you know, because if I don't, God's going to kick my hind in. And I would rather make you mad than make God mad. Bless your heart, I love you. But I am going to tell you if you're going the wrong direction. And I ain't got no beef about it. Matter of fact, one time I was, and I've told you this, I was preaching one morning at a church, and I knew a guy was going to be there, and I refused to preach something the Lord told me to preach. And oh, he beat me up. For weeks and weeks, I felt like I was as low as a wagon rut in a mud hole. And I told the Lord right then, I said, you know what? Whatever you lay on my heart, I'll tell him. Because I ain't putting up with this no more. Man, that was a feeling like I couldn't get rid of it. But to reprove, rebuke, oh, I like to exhort. Hey, you doing good? You here this morning? Amen. And we're supposed to do that. Because, listen, there's a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what people like to hear? I'm going to be honest with you. They like to hear it. Hey, brother, you're doing great. Sister, you're doing great. Oh, brother, you know what? Man, don't worry about what. No big. You live just the way you want to live. You'll be all right. That's what they want to hear. And they call that itching behind the ear. Like that. That's what they call that. And it makes them feel good. Listen, I've been in churches before, and I'm like, he needs to shut up because he don't know my life. Well, no, he don't. But guess what the Holy Spirit does? And the Holy Spirit tells him what to preach. And he starts stepping on your toes, and you get them all up under the chair, and guess what? Boom! Before long, you're on your knees, and like the sign says, when you get there, pray. That's true. There's been lots of times I would leave churches when I was in the position you're in, and I would think, how in the world does he know so much? You don't know what I just saw. Amen, Pastor. Really and truly, there's lots of times that I went to churches, and when I was when the invitation was over, pew, out the door, because I'm like, I don't need to talk to him. He knows too much. That's true. Any of you see the sign they just lifted? See, we've been talking about doing some signs. Now, I was going to have Brother Louis stand back here, and while Brother Philip is leading singing, we all stand for the offering, and he was going to hold a sign up and says, let's all stand. And then right after the offering, he hauled another one up and says, be seated. No offense, Philip. But he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, that breaks my heart. But they will. They'll turn from the truth and they turn unto fables. They believe all kind of garbage and they get so messed up. And I'm not saying they're not saved. They just got off on the wrong way. And we shouldn't, but we do. Jeremiah 3:15, the Lord told the Israelites, he told Jeremiah, he said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Do you know how much I pray that I feed you with knowledge and understanding? I ask the Lord to give me direction of what to do. Because that's what we need to be doing. Well, how does that approach me as an individual, though? Listen, I got grandkids. All of you's got children. You need to be praying the Lord gives you the right direction to give them direction. Because they don't always listen in church. Of course, you'd be surprised how much they do listen. But they need to hear it from mom and dad and grandma and grandpa too. But that brought me somewhere else. With all that said, all of us who are saved and have been called to serve, to be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be doing that. Wednesday nights, if you're missing out on it, shame on you. Wednesday nights and some Sunday nights, we've been studying the book of Revelation. And it's going really fast. We've been in it for weeks now and we've made it into chapter 2. But we've covered 3 or 4 of the churches. And there's a church called Ephesus, and they had lost their first love. There's a church called Pergamos that had compromised, and there's a church called Thyatira that had been contaminated with false doctrine. And you think, what's that got to do with me? It has a lot to do with us. As a church, I'm going to be honest with you. As a church, the Lord has blessed me to be the pastor at Wagon Wheel. Because Wagon Wheel, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not just bragging on you. You listen. No, we don't all get it right. That's okay. I don't always get everything right either. I got one going, amen, Pastor. I'm surprised they didn't hold their sign up. But, you know, we need to be watching lest we fall. We've got to. Don't ever get the big head. Hey, we're where we're supposed to be at. We've got to always continue to be digging in God's Word and listening to God's Word, because we can fall that quick. And we can be right there. We lose our first love, we compromise, and before long we're contaminated. But you see, as a pastor, I got to tell you something. I have seen some cooling down of people. I have seen some little bit of compromising. Don't know about the contaminated part, but I've seen that in people here at Wagon Wheel. And that's scary for me. Because either I ain't teaching you right or you ain't listening. And some of it may be because you ain't here. And I have to tell you that because the Lord laid it on my heart to tell you. Because what happens, you see, is you start drifting away, and drifting away happens slowly. I was in the river one day with Mike in his boat, Brother Mike Thomas, and we pulled up in this little cove and we turned it off, and man, we're fishing and we ain't catching nothing. And Mike, I think it was because he's running them off. And he's over, hip, 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 you know. And all of a sudden, we're not in the cove anymore. But it was a slow drifting along, and we're back out about halfway out in the middle of the river. And we're heading downstream, and I'm like, well, no wonder we ain't catching nothing, Mike. We're out here. There ain't no bass out in this. They're up against the weeds over there. Of course, that didn't help either, because we went and didn't catch nothing. But it's a slow thing. And the cooling down, losing your first love for Christ is a slow process. But then next, it comes in, we start compromising. And where do we compromise? Things start becoming more important than Jesus. That's what happens. And it's not long after that there's a contamination going on. We start believing some false doctrine. Oh, and we're going to go to church. Yeah, Pastor, I wasn't there, but we watched it on TV. Listen, you be careful what you watch on TV. It's garbage. Because I turn it on every now and then. Give them time. They reveal themselves. They start healing somebody or speak some kind of weird something or other. But there's two other churches that I didn't mention because we hadn't covered them. But Laodicea and I want to say Smyrna, they had problems. They thought they were alive and well, but they wasn't. Smyrna was dead, pretty much just fell apart. And Laodicea, God told them, he said, you're not warm, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, you're nasty. He said, and I want to spew you out of my mouth. He said, we don't ever want to get there, but as an individual, we can get there. But see, it affects everybody around us, though. What makes up a church? Individuals. And when that happens, it starts affecting the church. I was reading in the book of Jeremiah, as I told you, about how God was dealing with the Israelites. And there's three verses that the Lord laid on my heart. And I've read you one already, 3:15. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. But the second one is Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's scary. The third verse is Jeremiah 6:17. He said, also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. See, I stand up here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and I will tell you, listen to what God is telling you. And if you're here and you're lost, I tell you, you need to get saved. You need to trust the Lord Jesus. Listen, he's coming back. And if he does and you're lost, you ain't going. And I'll just be up front with you. If you've been under in the sound of my voice when I preach the gospel, basically you have rejected Jesus Christ. Do you know what the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit is? I used to think it was saying the word, God's name in vain. It's not. See, the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit can't be forgiven. And I'm going to tell you what that is. That's knowing that you're lost, knowing that you're on the way to hell, and you tell Jesus, no, I ain't getting saved. Maybe next week. And you keep that up, and eventually, Holy Spirit doesn't touch you anymore. And it's unforgivable because you'll die and go to hell. See, that's sad. And I know that there's people that I come in contact with, and you do as an individual, that they're not listening to the Lord. See, every time you lay a track somewhere, or every time you tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you were one of two things to that person. Either their best friend or the worst enemy they could possibly dream of. Because you just told them the gospel, and if they turn it down because of what you did, they're going to go to hell. Which they're going to go to hell anyway if they don't accept the Lord. But it's our job to let them know. And now you've changed a lot of things for them. Because now they've had that opportunity to either accept it or reject it. That's scary. But that's our job to tell people. You see, the Israelites wouldn't listen to the Lord. They suffered greatly. Their children suffered greatly. You see, when we lay out of church or when we don't put the Lord where he should be, honestly, It ain't you adults that suffer. You will to a point, but it's your children that suffer. Because if they're not saved, 10 years down the road, they're probably not going to get saved either, because they're going to look at mom and dad, or they're going to look at grandma and grandpa, and they're going to say, well, they didn't take it serious. Why should I? That's scary. Let's not get to that point. Amen? So, what do you do with this morning's message? You know, I ask myself the same thing. Will you just say, I hear it, I'm doing okay? Or will you be honest and repent, because you need to get some things right with God? I went ahead and told you to start with. I've already had to do some repenting myself, because honestly, there's times I don't have that compassion that I should have. Sometimes I don't shed the tears that I should. So we've all got things to ask forgiveness for. It just depends on what you'll do with what God's told you today. Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come forward. Every head bowed and every eye closed as we have an invitation this morning. If the Lord spoke...